Hey, welcome to the show. Happy Thursday to you. I'm Gary Zimak. Thanks for joining me for, believe it or not, day 25 of our continuing preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. 25, headed toward 33 days of preparation. Unbelievable, isn't it? How we are really making progress and getting through this one day at a time. Hopefully, over the past several weeks, you've gotten to rid yourself a little bit of the spirit of the world, or at least recognize we're influenced by the world, number one. Number two, you got a chance to look inside of yourself and discover, painfully so maybe, that maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. Maybe I'm a little more sinful. Maybe I really need the Blessed Mother's help. And this week, I hope you're learning a little bit about the Blessed Mother, realizing that not only can she help you to draw you closer to Christ, when you get off the when you get off track, she can get you back on track, but also that she had a pretty painful life at times. She had a lot of suffering in her life. We don't want to glorify her life too much. You look at a statue of the Blessed Mother, everything looks great. She looks peaceful. She looks content. She looks like she doesn't have a problem in the world. The first two things, I'm sure, are true. She is peaceful. She is content. But that doesn't mean she didn't suffer. That doesn't mean she didn't go through trials. That also doesn't mean that she wasn't even confused at times. Totally possible to be confused and still be free from any sin. That's the case of the Blessed Mother. So today, we're going to look at the fact that Mary communicates her spirit to us. What does that mean? We'll talk more about that in the next few minutes. I want to thank you, though, for being so faithful, for hanging in here with me. I'm going to be headed out to Spokane, Washington this weekend. I'm going to be leaving on Friday tomorrow. I'll pre-record the shows, and you will be set for the entire weekend. We'll be back in the area late Sunday night, so we'll be back Monday. I've got to find ways to do the traveling, and it's pretty funny and to do the show while I'm traveling. October the 7th, when we'll be making our total consecration, I'll actually be in Fargo, North Dakota. I'll be leading a parish mission that kicks off that Sunday, October the 6th, I think it is. So I think the 7th is a Monday. That's how it's going to work. But I will get you the shows. We'll pre-record them to make sure that I'm not going to leave you deserted. Your buddy Gary's going to be here with you. So as always, if you have questions, you can either contact me through my website, followingthetruth.com, or you could send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into the meditation for today. After the break, of course, we'll do what we always do. We'll go to the daily Mass readings and listen to the Word of God as proclaimed at today's daily Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Messiah, our friend, our brother, Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us the gift of the Blessed Mother. What a great gift, Lord. You gave us your very own mother. You are always available to us, Lord. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for ruling over all aspects of our lives. We surrender ourselves to you this day, and we ask you to continue to guide us, Lord. We want to grow close to you. That's the goal of our lives, to grow close to you. And we know that through the help of your Blessed Mother, that's going to be even more achievable than if we try to do it ourselves. Lord, we pray that one day we can be in heaven with you. But while we're here on earth, we just ask that you hold us, that you keep us close to you, and that you always let us be able to feel your peace at all times. And we ask this, of course, through the intercession of your Mother Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, the praying is done. I was going to say praying is out of the way. That's a mistake. We pray because that gives us a chance to really be in communion with the Lord. It's an incredible opportunity. Sometimes you don't feel like it, though. That's okay. What's more important is the fact that you do it. And here's what I'll tell you. The more you pray, the more you will feel like it. But it takes time. Now, there are going to be times when you really get a lot out of prayer. You're getting a lot of good emotional feelings. That's not always the case. The important thing is for us to pray whether we feel like it or not, because that's how we express our love for the Lord. You know, and it gets easy to, maybe if you're really busy, or maybe if you're having a really splendid day, everything's going great for you, you're on vacation, the weather's nice, it might be easy to forget about the Lord. But I would urge you to not do that. But I would also urge you to really consider, you know, because this is voluntary, I would urge you to strongly consider going ahead and making your total consecration on October the 7th. I have to say that because you don't have to do it. Right now, we're still preparing. But these are the kinds of things that Mary can help us with to give us a little nudge when we don't feel like praying. You know, she'll help you so that you'll get that thought in the back of your mind, ah, maybe I should pray. It just happened to be in the car. It was the 3 o'clock hour, the hour of mercy. When I remember, I try to pray a chaplet of divine mercy during the 3 o'clock hour, the hour when our Lord died on the cross. I'm driving, kind of burned out, running around, paying bills, having all kinds of things that I have to get done, and I just felt like chilling. I didn't feel like taking out my rosary beads and praying a chaplet. The thought came to me not once, but twice. I kept putting it off, right? It's 3:50, and I finally thought, you know what? This could be the Holy Spirit. Through, you know, the help of the Blessed Mother. I don't know who it is. Somebody's telling me I should be praying. So I prayed my chaplet, ended at 4 on the dot, and had that communion with the Lord. That is so important. So don't forget that. Don't forget the power of prayer, not just to get things, but to be able to be in contact with the Lord. It's a great opportunity for us. All right, today we're going to go to Preparation for Total Consecration to Jesus Christ through Mary by Father Hugh Gillespie. And as you remember, Father Gillespie can be a little tough sometimes, but excuse me, let's see what it's not going to be too bad today, I don't think. Let's see what he has us do. I forgot my beverage du jour, that's why I'm coughing. We look at scripture for this day, 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 through 8. 2 Peter 1 5 through 8. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these things are yours and abound, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so what's going on there? Well, let's look at what St. Louis de Montfort says. To sum up, Mary becomes all things for the soul that wishes to serve Jesus Christ. She enlightens his mind with her pure faith. She deepens his heart with her humility. She enlarges and inflames his heart with her charity, makes it pure with her purity, makes it noble and great through her motherly care. But why dwell on this? Experience alone will teach us the wonders wrought by Mary in the soul. Wonders so great that the wise and the proud, and even a great number of devout people, find it hard to credit them. And Father Gillespie's question is, what aspect of your spirit is most like Mary? What aspect of your spirit is most unlike and opposed to her? All right, let me talk a little bit about this. This wasn't too bad. But it's a tough question. I mean, it's not too bad of a meditation. It's a brutal thing to consider, though, when we look at the fact that the Blessed Mother is so much like us in so many ways, so much unlike us in so many ways. It's painful to recognize that, but there is a happy ending. Trust me, there's a happy ending to this. Mary was faithful. Mary was able to trust God, and because of that trust, she was able, when the angel appeared to her, to say yes. Even though she didn't have all the answers, even though she was confused, even though she didn't know that she was about to suffer a great deal. And then as she did find out these things, as she did find out that she would suffer, Mary never wavered. Mary's faith always stayed strong, and Mary always did what God wanted her to do, even to the point where she stayed at the foot of the cross while Jesus was being crucified. She was there. The apostles weren't there, with the exception of John, the beloved disciple. The rest of them didn't show up. They were scared. They were hiding. They were cowards. Mary, on the other hand, knew that she had to be there to support her son. To support her son, Mary, through her suffering, was involved in the mission of Jesus on Calvary. And that's an important concept to consider, okay? It's an important concept for us to consider. Are you willing to suffer as much as Mary did without just deserting the Lord? How many times do we get fed up when things aren't going our way and we get to a certain point, and we generally, establish the point. We decide at what point we're going to give up. And we say, that's it. That's it, Lord. I'm done. I'm sick of it. I've had it. No more prayer, no more anything. As if we're trying to get revenge on the Lord, right? We do that. We do that. We do get fed up. We do get frustrated. We do question, and not in the way Mary questioned. See, when Mary talked to the angel, and when Gabriel appeared to Mary in Luke chapter 1, the angel told her, you've been chosen to become the mother of the Savior. And Mary said, whoa, wait a minute. I thought I was supposed to remain a virgin. I'm confused. And the angel said, well, here's the deal. And of course, I'm paraphrasing. This is not going to be found this way in any Bible. But the angel said, I guess you figured that out by now, right? But the angel said to her, Mary, it'll happen through the grace of the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and you will become pregnant. And then, your son will be the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior. Mary said, okay, that's fine. Think about that for a minute. Can you imagine having that kind of faith? And I'm not saying you can force yourself to have that faith, because one thing about faith is a gift. Faith can grow when you exercise it, but you cannot just go out and buy yourself some faith. You personally can't do anything to increase your faith. You could do actions and use your faith, and through the grace that the Lord gives you, your faith can grow, but you can't do anything on your own to increase your faith. So you look at Mary's faith and you think, wow, I would never have had the courage to do that. I would get hung up on the fact that I have to explain this to Joseph and my family. What am I going to say? I'm not married. I'm pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit. You ever have something really crazy to tell somebody and you try to tell them and you think, oh, they are never going to believe this, and they don't believe it? And you get really frustrated, you get mad, you go crazy. Well, imagine what Mary went through. She had to explain this, something completely unheard of, to her friends, to her family, and to her soon-to-be husband, Joseph. Oh, by the way, Joseph, the reason I'm pregnant, it was by virtue of the Holy Spirit. Now, God helped out, obviously. He sent the angel to Joseph in a dream. And Joseph wasn't really understanding this, and the angel came to Joseph in a dream and said, no, this is what happened. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. This happened by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph went along with this. See, at this point, he said yes, too. But if you look at Mary's faith and you get a little jealous, that's a good thing in this case, because when you make your total consecration, you see, she'll be sharing that faith with you. You know, I don't know about you, but I want a stronger faith. I want to be able to trust even when everything looks bleak. If God tells me he's going to come through for me, I want that kind of faith. But sometimes my faith is a little weak. It's a lot weak, not a little weak. So when we look at the Blessed Mother, we think she suffered. She didn't complain. She went along with God's plan for her life. She pondered events in her heart. Sometimes we'll say, why is this happening to me? This is so annoying. Stop it, Lord. Or we don't even talk to him. Mary, everything that happened to her, even if it wasn't pleasant, even if it was difficult, what did she do? She pondered it and tried to figure out how God was working in her life. That is the type of faith that I want. And this is somebody who is ready to help us, ready to guide us, ready to advise us, so that we can continue on the journey, which will one day, with her help, get us to land us in heaven. But again, I tell you this a lot. It's true. There are no guarantees. That's why I am going for the help given to us by the church. If Jesus gives me his mom and his church says, this is approved, this is a way to help you get to heaven, the sorry sinner that I am, I'm going to say, bring it on. Bring it on. And so that's why I'm getting excited about this total consecration. And look, honestly, when you do it, you're going to probably, hopefully, have some kind of a devotion to Mary at the end. We'll talk more about it, pray a rosary every day, maybe talk to her. But for the most part, this heavy-duty, intense 33-day preparation, these things aren't going to be in your mind until you do this again next year, hopefully. But when I do this, when I go through this each year, and this is the seventh year in a row that I've done this, I start to realize all over again why I need the Blessed Mother's help. So get ready, get excited. October the 7th is the big day. That's the day when you get to make your total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Now, here's the incredible news. Tomorrow, Friday, is the final day. You bet. The final day of the week devoted to Mary, Saturday, we launch into the final phase of this 33-day preparation period, the week focused on the life of Jesus Christ. So you can see how this is building. This devotion doesn't end with Mary. This devotion ends with Jesus. And that's the way St. Louis wanted it. And the way I look at it, if St. Louis wanted it that way, that's good enough for me. We're going to take a break. We'll hear from our friend Tony Rossi of the Christophers. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Gary Zimak Show on Blog Talk Radio. When we come back, it's time for the Daily Mass Readings.
Christopher Minutes. Thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Sam Burns was born in 1996 with the rapid aging disease progeria, which usually results in death by age 13. But his physician parents, Dr. Scott Burns and Dr. Leslie Gordon, were not prepared to give up their son without a fight. They founded the Progeria Research Foundation, through which they're working to discover the gene responsible for progeria and then develop a treatment. The Christopher Award-winning documentary Life According to Sam follows their efforts and also introduces viewers to Sam, whose joyful spirit and mature soul defy the danger of his condition. Sam Burns unfortunately passed away at age 17, but his parents' battle to help others with progeria continues in memory of their son. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
And welcome back to the Gary Zimak Show. It's about time to look at the daily Mass readings for Thursday's Mass, which is today. Thursday is the Thursday of the 25th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading today, we go to the book of the prophet Haggai. We're going to the beginning of the book of the prophet Haggai, or Haggai. Different people pronounce it differently, but he's an Old Testament prophet, and we're going to look at his words in the first reading today. Very quickly, donations, followingthetruth.com. Click on support if you want to see your old buddy Gary be able to continue with his ministry. And honestly, the reason I'm pushing it pretty hard is because donations are down. The summer is brutal. All ministries are getting hammered. And I just heard on the radio some other person who is involved in full-time ministry was saying that the donations have not recovered, even though we're now in the fall, technically. I would agree. So I've lost some. I need some new donations, so if you're able to help me out, if you like the work that I do, and first of all, if you're already a donor, thank you very much for your support. You know that I'm grateful. I am so grateful for your support, for the fact that you trust me with your donations, and I hope to be here for a long time to come. I love doing this show. I love doing my morning show. I love doing my podcast for Warriors. I just love doing radio. I love talking about the Lord. And as I talked, I spoke with a friend of mine about this, and I said, you know, this is my happy place. When I do this show and I'm doing scripture, even if I'm having a bad day, things get better because I'm hearing, even though I'm reading it, see, I'm hearing the Lord speak to me. So I'm grateful for your support. I want to keep doing this, but financially speaking, after being in full-time ministry for close to 6 years, I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel. So I quite honestly, I really need the support to keep going forward. I'm not concerned, though, because I know if the Lord wants me to do it, he's going to inspire you to donate. I appeal to you because you're a regular listener. You even stuck around after the total consecration. So maybe you've been hearing me say this for weeks now, for months, whatever it is, and you put it off thinking that, you know, somebody else is going to donate. The reason I'm saying it is because that other person is not donating it. So if you're able to help me out, whatever you can afford, if you could do $10 a month, that's huge. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on support. We have people who are giving $100 a month. Not a lot, but some people do that. I'm still looking for some people who are able to give more than that. You choose the amount. If I could get a few more monthly sponsors, I would be so grateful. followingthetruth.com, click on support. You can also make a one-time donation, but I'm really trying to encourage the regular monthly donors, as well as the subscribers to the podcast. That number has gone up quite a bit, but it's still not where it has to be. Podcastforwarriors.com is the place to go to subscribe to that podcast, or you could simply just go to followingthetruth.com and click on the Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled link. Thank you for that. That little bit of begging, it's really not easy to do. It really isn't, because I want to get on with the show, but I'm just telling you like it is. I don't want you to be disappointed one day when I say that I had to close down the operation because of lack of support. Because I know then you would probably say, well, why didn't you tell us? I'm doing that now, and I thank you for listening. I'm very grateful for your support, for your understanding. Okay, let's look at the mass readings. The book of the prophet Haggai, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. On the first day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to the governor of Judah, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and to the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the people says, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then this word of the Lord came through Haggai the prophet. Is it time for you to dwell in your own paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but have brought in little. You have eaten, but have not been satisfied. You have drunk, but have not been exhilarated. Have clothed yourselves, but have not been warmed. And whoever earned wages, earned for them a bag with holes in it. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up into the hill country, bring timber, and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and receive my glory, says the Lord. Again, here's that reminder. The Lord is asking his people to build him a temple, to build him a temple so that he will have a house. He will have a house so that they can go to worship him. That's what's going on there. So that's that first reading. We see a common theme. We've been hearing a lot of this lately. Psalm 149, the Lord takes delight in his people. See, one of the things we forget is that when we worship the Lord, if we go into church or if we just pray, whatever we do, and we turn to him and we give him praise and we worship him, we just talk to him, no matter what it is. The words aren't as important as the fact that we want to spend time with him. And that's what I was getting at the beginning of the show today. The words less important than your presence. He just wants you. He doesn't care as much about what you say. When you praise him, when you give him glory, when you say he's wonderful, he already knows that. I mean, it's still good for you to say it because I think you need to know it. And as you say it, you start to realize, wow, this God of mine, he's my friend and he is pretty powerful. You know what it's like to have a powerful friend or somebody who's a pretty important friend? You know, we brag about celebrities that we know, or maybe we take a selfie with a celebrity. How about with the Lord? Do we tell anybody about our friend, our Heavenly Father, his Son Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity? I'm personal friends with them. You know, but we don't think of that. The Lord takes delight in his people. Sing to the Lord a new song of praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in their Maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise his name in the festive dance. Let them sing praise to him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord loves his people, and he adorns the lowly with victory. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their couches. Let the high praises of God be in their throats. This is the glory of all his faithful. A reminder for us to praise the Lord, to praise him, to worship him, to make sure that we are having that dialogue with him in prayer every day. It's not all about just asking for things. That's one form of prayer. But it's also about praising him and telling him how much we love him and how wonderful he is. That does wonders for your faith when you start doing that. So try to do a little bit of that today. And you know, you talk about Mary's spirit. When Mary was greeted by her cousin Elizabeth when she went to visit her, Elizabeth began to praise Mary, saying, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to see me? And what did Mary do? We had this a couple of days ago. She prayed that famous prayer, the Magnificat, in which she praised the Lord. All the praise that was directed at her by Elizabeth, Mary just redirected it to the Lord. Oh no, it's not me. I'm just a humble servant of the Lord, the humble handmaiden. Why is he good to me? You know, and this is the kind of spirit that Mary has. Again, all the more important for us to make that total consecration so that we can share in that powerful faith of hers. The gospel today comes from Luke chapter 9, verses 7 through 9. Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed because some were saying, John has been raised from the dead. Others were saying, Elijah has appeared. Still others said, John, I beheaded. Who then is this about who I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. Okay, now so Herod is curious about Jesus. He's curious about him, but not necessarily in a good way. You know, he's intrigued, but Herod, by all accounts, is somebody who is very insecure. He's the king, and he didn't like any other kings threatening him. And he was going to go to whatever length he had to go through to stop Jesus from getting in the way and challenging his kingship. And that's the way this Herod was. This is the way he was. So we see the basis for the opposition that Jesus meant. We see the basis for the opposition that we encounter too when we try to bring our Christian faith into the workplace, into the society in general. A lot of times you get criticized. You get and it's funny, so many people have the same comments: separation of church and state, keep your faith to yourself, faith is a private matter. No, faith is private between you and God. Faith is personal, I should say, but it's not private. It shouldn't be private. Jesus said, you don't take a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. You take your lamp, your light, and you shine it out on all the world so everybody can see. You have Jesus Christ. You have a great gift. You've got people around you. I know that. You have people around you who don't know Christ, who don't have any idea that it's possible to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't know that you can encounter Christ on a personal and intimate level. And guess where they are? They're at church around you at Mass. Because a lot of times, and I know the statistics, people have assured me this, I've run into it myself, people who receive communion every day, daily communicants, some of them don't even know that you can have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We got to change that. We have to go out into the world and share Jesus with others. That's what he wants us to do. That's what Mary wants us to do. Now, the best thing is, Mary wants to help us, you see? She doesn't want us to do this by ourselves. She's going to help us. She's going to give us that little push so that when we want to shrink away and we say, I don't really want to get involved, I don't want to cause trouble, I don't want to make waves, I don't want people to humiliate me or get mad at me, I don't want to offend others, I don't want to force my faith on other people, Mary's going to remind us that this is not a matter of forcing your faith on anybody. Sharing Jesus is a good thing. You've got a great secret. You've got a treasure. You've got the pearl of great price in your life if you have Jesus. Why would you want to keep him to yourself? That's not what Christianity is all about, and that's what he calls us to do. Again, I've said it before, Christianity is difficult if you do it right. So let's try to do it right with the help of the Blessed Mother. Let's ask for her help, and let's continue, or start, if you're not already doing it, to share Jesus with others. And remember that if it's tough for you now, having Mary by your side with you and letting her motivate you and sharing some of her faith is going to get you started in the right direction. All right, I'm going to wrap things up for now. Tomorrow, remember, last day of the week devoted to the Blessed Mother, Saturday. And remember, Saturday and Sunday, 15 minutes each day. Saturday and Sunday begins our week devoted to the life of Christ. We are coming to the end. We're coming to the finish line. What happens after October the 7th? Well, we'll sum up for a day or two, and then I'll let you know what happens to this program. I don't envision it going away. I fully plan to continue on, and I really hope if you're a new listener that you stick with me. Scripture will always be a part of the program. The one thing I want to decide is whether I continue to replay some of the interviews that I do on Spirit of the Morning, or if I add back some of the features that I used to do on this show going back a few years. We'll talk more about that. I'll pray about it. You can let me know what you think. Maybe we'll try a few things, see how it works. But I really want to be here and continue to draw you closer to Christ, to do what I can to draw you closer to Christ every day. So God willing, that will happen. But for right now, I'm going to run. If you have anything that you need, let me know at Gary@followingthetruth.com. Please remember the donations, though, hugely important right now. I'd be so grateful if I'd get a few emails notifying me that new donations came in, especially new monthly sponsors. And I'm going to challenge you. I would ask you to pledge the greatest amount that you can. Right now, that is still going to make it really difficult for me to continue. That's where I'm at right now. But again, I trust God's providence. If he wants me here, he's going to inspire the right people to send the donations my way. Followingthetruth.com is the place. Just click on support. You are wonderful. Thank you for being such a loyal listener. Hang in there. We are getting to the end of our preparation for total consecration. And pretty soon, on October the 7th, it's going to get real good. Until we meet again, this is Gary Zimak reminding you that wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Make sure you spend a little time and talk to him. God bless you. Talk to you next time. The Gary Zimak Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.